Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Well, good morning, and it is once more and again we are with you on another Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and I'm your host, Dr. J.O. Robinson, Allen, Texas, and it is one great privilege for us to be back with you again as we share around the Word of the Living God. And one more time, I promised you that we would have this gentleman back with us, a friend and brother of mine, T.A. Sullivan in Memphis, Tennessee, pastor. And I just wanted to say that I am so excited about him being with us back again on the podcast. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Robinson and listening audience. God bless you.
Amen. Can you turn your volume up just a little bit more? Can you talk just a little bit louder for me, preacher?
All right. How about that? Is that good?
That is great. All right, now let's get into it. Last time you and I were on the broadcast together, we never did really get to the topic that was at hand.
Amen. But praise the Lord.
I'm so excited that maybe possibly today we will be able to engage in what we had set out to talk about in the beginning, and that
Amen.
Is. Philemon 6, that says that the communications of my faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
And praise the Lord.
We know that Christ actually means, and that is not Jesus' name, but the actual reference to that is the anointing, or the anointed one and his anointing. And
Amen.
That's what we are talking about today. And
Amen.
Give us the name of the ministry there where you're pastoring in Memphis.
Amen. Our church is the Church of the Word, Worship, and Praise, located in Memphis, Tennessee. Amen. I am the pastor, Elder Tommy Andrew Sullivan. God bless you. Good
Amen.
Morning.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last time we were on the broadcast, we were kind of mentioning a little bit about what you do there with the at-risk youth in 10 Point
mm-hmm.
as well.
Amen.
And I just wanted to make sure that we once more would give a little bit of information about not just only the church, but as well as what you were
mm-hmm.
doing there with the before we get into the Word again.
Praise the Lord. We thank God that He has blessed us to have favor. Part of our title for the church is also Marriage, Separation, Divorce Ministries, which means that we specialize or focus particularly on the family, and you can't work with family without working with husband and wife and boys and girls. So as a result, we also had favor with the Memphis City School System. Therefore, we were able to join a Boston outreach called the Boston 10 Point, and we formed here locally the Memphis 10 Point Coalition, where we have about 35 churches that coalition with us to assist us in working with the at-risk, high-risk youth. These are youth that's in trouble in various outside, and then teenage pregnancies, drug abuse, going to juvenile court, and sometimes even getting turned over to adult court for the crimes that they may be committing. So as a result, we thank God that we have a voice into their ears, and we stay regular in their presence so that we can understand what's going on with them and get the heartbeat of their ache and their pain. God bless
That's
you.
Good. You know, I was so excited about what you were sharing the last time that we were on the broadcast about reaching out to our youth. And it's such a needed thing in society in which we live today, especially with all of the things that are available to them. There's so many things that are available to the youth today as opposed to in times past. And so many things that distract them and to take their attention away from basically the reality of life.
But absolutely.
Your coalition is reaching out to them and to make them aware and cognizant of the things that are happening around them outside of the things that entertainment has to offer them.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Well, you know,
to discuss every good thing. And we did a segment a while back, and I felt led to do it again on this parts of this particular passage. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, a confession. You know, because confession, the word is actually taken from the word in the Greek homologio. That means,
all right,
which is to, where we get our word from. Some of the substance that we use for cooking is called homogenized.
All right.
So some of the things that this writer is talking about is, and this is a part of our confession, is that we should be speaking the same thing.
Correct.
And then that help us to be also to declare or to admit it, to be on one accord or be in agreement with what is being said by Philemon here in this particular passage of Scripture. It's
all
not
right.
Acknowledging every good thing. It's the communication of his faith, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
That
become
effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in him or you and me in Christ Jesus.
Correct.
With that, I want to, you know, in our confessions, in that we dealt with and we're dealing with in this particular segment, the diversity of confessions. There are so many people that are not on the same page today in this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, this falls in line with what we were just talking about the youth and the parents. Yes, the scripture does tell us that we should all be speaking the same thing. And therefore, what we communicate should be the same thing. And I like the definition of the word communication, which is koinonia in Greek, which means a partnership or participation. It even means a social intercourse. That means that what we're communicating is so intimate that the definer of this word includes social intercourse. And at the same time, it's talking about a distribution and a communion. So it is not just what we're saying. It's what we're saying that has become a part of us that we are transmitting or broadcasting to the hearts of others so that we all can be on one accord and speak the same things and believe the same thing, you see. And then it talks about communicating our faith. And the scripture says that faith worketh by love. So if we back up a little bit, if folks' love is not right, then their faith is not going to be right, you know. And, because the motivation or the energizer for faith is our love. And thank God that the love we have as born-again believers is not our human love. It is Christ's love. We have his love distributed in our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit, giving us the ability to love like him, you see. So that means putting aside all the things that we have been prejudiced by in our own walk and began to walk in his mind so that we can speak like he speak in the tone that he was speaking in the spirit that he was speaking in. Amen, and that our love is transmitted to all people in the same manner, you know. And the scripture even talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that that we're the sweet-smelling savor of God in Christ. That word savor means odor. We have a responsibility that when we go before people, that they can smell the fragrance, the good smell, the good odor of God. And in so it's in the words we're communicating our odor, if you will. And it's kind of like when you meet people that and that people don't like, and you say, "Well, I met brother so and so or sister so and so," and if people screech up and turn up their nose and say, "Oh, you know him," that means they're saying he don't smell good. If they say, "I met sister so and so," and they say, "Oh, I know her. She's a beautiful person." And, well, they got a smile on their face. That means she smells good, you see. So we're communicating our faith to people in a manner whereby it's palatable, that they can receive it and look past us and see Christ. Amen. Look past us and feel his love. Look past us and desire to have more of him, you know. So that's kind of why I want to open that up, to get us straight on this communication thing, which brings us to the other word, fellowship. We are fellows in the ship, communicating a good odor, a good smell, a good fragrance of God to those who are lost as well as to those that are in the faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Robinson, you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I'm sorry.
We did a synopsis on once a particular passage of scripture about what's that smell when the dresser of the vineyard in the book of Luke was dealing with tree that needed to be cut down, and he asked the vineyard owner. He says, "This tree has been here." The vineyard owner asked the dresser, says, "The tree has been here for 3 years, and now it's it's produced fruit in 3 years. Let's cut it down." And so the dresser said to the vineyard owner, he says, "Look, let's dig around it and dung it, and maybe in a year's time it may produce, and if it does not, then let's cut it down." But actually, what is that smell? Because, you know, sometimes we may not smell good, but it doesn't mean we're not good. You know,
all right.
Sometimes smell like somebody has dung around us, but that smell could be also a sign that we're being nurtured to produce fruit.
All right.
But I know that the odor that you're speaking of is not that odor. So
no, sir.
You're speaking,
sir,
of a odor.
Well, it's also like the expression of love. Love has good feeling things, as well as love can hurt a little bit, you know, because God said, "Them whom he loved, he chastened." And that's like a switch whipping. And then it's and he scourge. That's like a stick beating. So love is not just giving ice cream, cake, and candy. It can also mean giving good switch discipline or denying of some things that the heart really longs for, you know. So, yes, our odor toward people is sweet smelling, but when we're administering to some folk, we got to dung around them. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
You know, speaking of fellowship, that, that rings because of the fact that so many people have broken fellowship in this day and time, so therefore they're not really communicating. And as you shared a few minutes ago, that word communication means, taken from the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship.
Correct.
And on an intimate basis, actually, there is a difference between fellowship, and I know that a lot of people won't probably agree with this, but there's a difference between fellowship and relationship. You know, some people have relationships with, we don't have fellowship with. Can you elaborate on that again just a little bit?
Well, the word to relation or to relate, to be related to, actually means to come from. And so I'm related. I have a family, the Sullivan family. I'm related to a lot of people in my bloodline. However, I'm not in fellowship with every person in my bloodline for various reasons. The first reason, I don't know all of my relatives, and that's bad. And secondly, some that I do know don't desire to interact with me because of who I stand for or whom I represent. So therefore, the scripture said that the children of darkness hates the children of light because their deeds are evil. So if you are a true follower of Christ and you are going forth expressing his odor, and we may analyze that also shining his light, then the light is going to hurt the eyes of those who are walking in darkness. You see, so therefore, the ability or the opportunity for carded when they won't embrace the light. You know, we're not trying to chase people away. We're just being who we are. And by being who we are, some folk will choose not to be hooked up with you, even though they are related, you know. And I think that's paramount.
So, you know, as you shared that about actually there are some people that you're related to, but you don't actually fellowship with them.
Right.
In terms of relating. That brings me to this particular passage of scripture that we are talking about, and we elaborated on it a little bit in the past, but I want to elaborate a little bit on it today because it bears witness to where we are going to plant the basis of the rest of this broadcast, and that is Philemon, who is actually the writer here. He's being wrote to by the Apostle Paul, and he's being dealt with about a situation that took place with him and his servant Onesimus. And Onesimus was the runaway slave as of sort, because he stole from Philemon and ran. He left Colossae. He was a Colossian. He left there and ran to Rome, where he met the Apostle Paul. And there he meets the Apostle Paul, and there he becomes converted. And when Paul finds out that he is a part of one of his sons in the gospel, who is Philemon, he says, you need to go back and apologize for the wrong that you've done now that you've been converted. And so we find Onesimus on his way back to Philemon because of Paul's recommendation. But in the process we recognize that Philemon was having church in his house, and I'm pretty sure that because of his son Archippus, and his son and his daughter-in-law, Ophelia, they were both a part of that church, as well as Tychicus. They were kind of appalled that I mean they were somewhat out of sort that Onesimus would come back to apologize after the wrong that he had done to, first of all, Archippus' father and Ophelia's father-in-law.
Father-in-law,
so now we're dealing with relationship and fellowship. And so Paul admonishes Philemon to give Onesimus an opportunity of repentance and accept him back into fellowship.
Yeah. Not slavehood, but fellowship.
Okay.
So he left a slave in bond, and he comes back in fellowship, in becoming a part of the organism. Amen. And that is a blessing. Now, when we're talking about this communication, notice this word here, effectual.
Mm-hmm.
And that word means energized, or it means to be powerful. It means to be active. So that means our communication is no good if it's not active. And then we have the ability through the Holy Spirit living in us that our communication can be operative, that's mobile, and powerful. It's not just a casual word or a casual conversation going on when we're communicating our faith. We're doing it with power. Even Paul picks it up and says, I didn't come to you with enticing words or in excellency of speech. In other words, I didn't come eloquent or trying to mesmerize you with my ability to articulate. He said, but I come with power and demonstration of the Spirit. So when we communicate our faith in love, praise God, then it's done with power. You know what I'm saying? It becomes contagious. It catches on and creates an epidemic, and hopefully it can spread into a pandemic, you know, and that the whole world will catch on fire. You know.
Right.
Yeah, see, right now Christianity is like 33% of all the population of the world, something like 2.1 billion people are Christians, according to statistics. And 21% of all people in the world, about 1.5 billion, is Islam, which means the greatest enemy at this juncture for Christianity is Islam, because it's growing at such a rapid rate. However, 2.1 billion people is a lot of folk to catch on fire and communicate this with power, where we can evangelize the world and make a difference, amen, in what's going on in the hearts and the minds of people. But going back to your earlier point, we need to be speaking the same things. We need to be believing the same thing. And that same thing is what the Word of God says. There's an attack against the two B's, against the building and against the Bible. People are attacking the book, and people are attacking the assembling of oneself together in the building. Social media many times is part of the problem. Folks feel they can have church at home, watching TV or on the internet. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. See, because we got to communicate with one another. We got to energize one another with power. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more until that day approach. So Jesus is coming back, and we got to be in powerful, effective communication, so that we can keep each other built up and energized to continue to share this message with the world. Amen.
You know,
the church is on. Go ahead.
I believe that we've become desensitized to certain areas of relationships, you know, in terms of, well, fellowship as well. And my reasoning for that is, like you said, because of social media and other devices that we use not to assemble ourselves with one another or to communicate on that level in terms
mm-hmm.
of bodily experience. I think we've become desensitized now that we would rather email somebody or speak to them on a electronic basis rather than a actual face-to-face basis. And I believe that has distracted our fellowship or the koinonia, as I've shared earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, that go back to something I learned from you about majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. You see, what is happening, it's not bad to have social media, but it's kind of like the fast food industry. Fast food, in my opinion, was designed that when the parents was in a hurry, was late and needed to feed themselves or their family quickly, that they just stop and get some fast food to temporarily pacify them until they can really fix a good meal. Well, that's what has happened with the social media. People have flipped this thing. It's supposed to be when you're at home sick and can't make it, when there are other, you know, discrepancies that's going to hinder your regular movement. You kind of get a little of that until you can get back into the fellowship. But they didn't turn it the other way and say, I don't need the fellowship. You know, they didn't start mining in the majors, majoring in minor. I just will stay at home, sit somewhere, just me, myself, and I, and look at this or listen to this through a social media structure. But it wasn't designed to be the main course. It was just designed to be a snack, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know, I mentioned those names, and that was a great point, because I mentioned the names of the characters in this particular setting with Philemon, because they play an important part in the effects, as you shared a few minutes ago, in the effects of Christianity on social relationships generally, because the spirit of love and justice, which we were destined to recognize in society, has been aborted.
Okay.
And so I say that because if we need anything today, it's the reorganizing of our society. You know, because our families have been distorted. We have no actual intimate fellowship anymore, per se, with the family unit, because one person is in one part of the area and maybe even in a home setting, sometimes people are divided. And then because of the way society is structured today, the parents basically are not at home. Then that's why you're dealing with at-risk children, because through your coalition is because the parents are basically not there.
Correct.
So now there are no good things being seen, first of all, in communications, because communications is not just speaking verbally. It is also a lifestyle.
That's right.
This is what I believe the writer was, as Paul was beginning to allude to when he was dealing with Philemon, said, look, I want you to communicate your faith by your life. Let Onesimus come back and restore him. And as you shared earlier, a great point, don't receive him as a slave. Now receive him as a brother in Christ, even though he works for you. Even though you're his master, even though he's employed by you. He's not now just a employee. He's not now just a hired servant. He is now also a brother in Christ. And I think we kind of have a problem in being able to bring those two together.
Mm-hmm.
Or to bring them to focus. I believe sometimes in the workplace where a believer treats another believer as if they were just secular, if that makes sense. And you can elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, in other words, because I'm the boss, somehow when I step into the workplace, I forget I'm also a brother, you see. And I began to operate more like a secular boss, you know, than have been operating like a spiritual boss. And there is a difference, you see. And that's what Philemon is talking about. Paul, rather, is talking about Philemon. I want your social intercourse to be done with power, see, that it may become effectual, may become powerful by you acknowledging, you see. In other words, this word acknowledge means to have full discernment. And I think your point is that too many people in leadership position, as well as in the body of Christ in general, their discernment is too low. If you really discern who your brother and sister really is, then maybe you wouldn't treat them or speak to them in the manner that you do. You see, regardless of your position in secular society, you have forgotten, you know, the Ephesian writer said that we are all fitly joined parts of the same body, you see. So to treat me wrong is to treat yourself wrong, because you and I are now hooked up in one organism. We're part of the same body. And Paul says another occasion, no man ever hated his own self. You understand? He was talking about the relationship between husband and wife, but still the spiritual relationship between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ is also symbolic of that, of a physical body. So therefore, part of Jerry Robinson and Jerry Robinson is a part of me. That's on the earthly plane. But greater than that, we are a part of the body of Christ. So whatever I'm doing unrighteous toward Jerry, whether it's thought, word, or deed, I'm doing it to Christ. You see?
Right.
And that's what Jesus was trying to get Paul to see when he had his encounter on the Damascus Road. He says, Paul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't say the Christians down there, but why persecute me? Don't you know it's hard to kick against the prick, you see? And so therefore, if we had full discernment of who we are dealing with, be it saint or sinner, then we would not act the way we do attitudinally, and we will not practice some of the practice we do from a practical perspective.
Amen. Okay, so that comes from, if I'm correct and I'm hearing what you're just sharing, that comes from knowledge.
Right.
I mean, you've got to know something to be able to discern something.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
And that's why I believe Paul was saying acknowledging every good thing. And so, a lot of people in the body of Christ, let's talk about the body of Christ. Let's not talk about the social media or the social society now or the secular society as of such at this point. Let's talk about the body of Christ, you and I, who are saying we fitly join together and that we are saying the same things. And let's say all things are evil and we are on the same page with what you just commented on. The first thing that we have to understand is, I believe, is that if we're going to have knowledge, we've got to have a mind of knowledge about who we are. And it brings me to this passage of Scripture that Philippian writer talks about. He says, and let this mind, Philippians 2 and 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but took on the form of a servant. But first of all, he acknowledged that he was in fellowship. His mind made him know he was in fellowship. And the second thing that comes to my mind is Romans 12 and 1, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, in verse 2, by the renewing of your mind.
Mind,
and I believe
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not renew their mind. Is that what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, because in that same passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, starting at verse 4, it talks about look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And the fifth verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes. Our mind needs to, I preached a message once says the problem is between the ears. We got a mind problem, you see.
Okay.
Because our thinking many times becomes stinking thinking instead of righteous thinking because we allow the cares of this life to integrate our spirit so much so that we fall from the thinking of God and began to think secularly, carnally, worldly, when that does not work. We got to acknowledge Christ in everything that we think, say, and do.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds has to be consistently exercised by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and we have to allow this mind, which is the seat of our intellect, to control our thinking. You see, through by way of the Holy Spirit, not by secular society, not by friends, relatives, or neighbors, and especially not by our flesh, you see, and which I would say is the greatest enemy. You know, that's what Paul was talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people don't know that actually the translation of flesh there is mind.
Well, the human nature, you know.
They think that it is talking about the body, and it is, of course, but the bottom line is that the indication here is that he's saying that the flesh, the things of your mind, the things that you think that are carnal, as you shared earlier, and that are not spiritual.
Right.
These are the acts of flesh. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, well, see, that's what, again, Paul is saying when he deals with the sarx, which is a Greek word for flesh, is the human nature, which is the frailties in the physical as well as the moral, the passion of a man. The human being as such, because we're not a body that rules a mind, we're a mind that rules the body. So
right.
If our mind is messed up, everything that the mind is in charge of is going to get messed up. You see, we have the ability, when we got to express ourselves as far as going to the toilet, if something is important, your mind can say, not right now. And the body will conform for a while anyway. Just hold on until you get what you're trying to get, and then you go and refresh or relieve yourself. So, yes,
right.
The mind of man has to be like Christ so much so that we begin to flow, F-L-O-W, with God, because if we don't, he's going to pull us in the flow, the F-O-O-R, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'd rather get in the flow than to be put in the flow, you know.
Praise the Lord. That's a great point. You know, Dr. Caroline Leaf said in her book, as she deals with the neurology, the nerve endings of the mind in the brain system, and she made the statement that the mind, the brain follows the mind.
Okay.
In other words, they're two separate entities. And so what your mind suggests is what your brain does. And it tells your nerve ending what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I, just like you and I are speaking now, my mind is telling my brain to say something.
Okay.
And
okay.
So
yes, sir.
The point that I'm raising here is, if my mind is not renewed, whatever is there, if my mind is not renewed in the Word of God, whatever is already there is going to operate my brain to what I do in the capacity in which I communicate. So, and she went on to say that in her writings, that the reason why most people are having such distortion in bodies and diseases and discomforts and stress and the endorphins in our brain operate out of the thoughts of our
That's correct.
That's why the Word of God tells us that our thoughts should be pure. They should be holy. They should be righteous. Mm-hmm. They should be clean. They should be honest. They should be of anything that's of a good report.
A good report. Yes.
These things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I discovered something else, and I'll give it over to you on this one. But I discovered that the word actual things is what we thought. We sometimes look at the physical appearance of things in the natural, is what we see. We think that Jesus, well, Paul went on to say in Romans 13 and 17, I believe it was something, 17, whatever, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy,
peace, and
the Holy
peace.
Ghost. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 6 and 33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. And I think that sometimes we think that the kingdom of heaven are things like Rolls Royces, Mercedes Benz, street levels and tri-level homes, Kuppenheimer, Stacey Adams shoes, Liz Clayton dresses, whatever, whoever the marketing
product
of this day and time. Actually, that one thing it means words.
Well, see, Paul says something in the book of Romans 7, verse 18. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, but the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. When a person is carnal, in their flesh, subject to the passions and the fleshly morals that they developed, for whether it came from the family, community, wherever they got it from. Just being born on planet Earth and an alien from God, from the Commonwealth of Israel, one would do like you say, operate just like what they know. A man can't do what he don't know. And one of the purposes of Bible study and morning worship and prayer meetings and one-on-one sharing with one another is to renew our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to think more like him so that we can act more like him. You know, we think, we speak, and we do. We mind, emotion, volition, you see? And so, therefore, we have to retrain this old mind to think like God so it'll feel like he feels and then do like he does. And so somebody might ask the question, you know, is there anything good in the man? Well, if you're talking about natural things, like you got good eyes, 20/20 vision, nose, you smell good and discern odor, your kidneys are functioning properly and your heart, you know, don't have three of your valves clogged up, then yeah, you have a good, you got good organs in your body. But if we're going to talk about this nature of man, that fallen nature as a result of Adam's sin in the garden, then no, ain't nothing good about that. It's got to be born again, first of all, and then after salvation, it has to be taught and trained how to think, act, talk, and walk like a Christian. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process.
Okay.
Amen.
You know, as you were sharing that, and those were great points, because those were questions that I posed. Is there anything good in man? And also, it is what? And help me with this, because when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Good Master, tell us da 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 da," and and he said, "There's none good but the Father."
Mm-hmm.
Elaborate on that for me.
Well, remember, he didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of him that sent him. And when we're talking about Jesus, we talk about 100% man and 100% God. You see, the Pharisees were looking at the man. You see, and Jesus' mission on earth was to point you to the Father. You see, just like our mission on earth as born-again believers is to point people to Christ, you see.
Right.
And so, therefore, he's let them know that ain't nobody good but God. Now, the paradox is Jesus is 100% God as he's 100% man. So, you know, and so we serve one God expressed in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And he's only doing, commissioned to do, point them to the Father, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't mean that he was not, the God part of him wasn't good. But he was expressing to the persons whom he was talking. It's like when you talk to people, you miss them if you talk to them about things they don't know of. Take them out of context of where they are if you want to really help them. So I think too many Christians try to be deep, and in that deepness they miss being common, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be common and not sin, you know. I can talk common and not curse, you know. I can talk about Christ and never mention his name because of whom I'm communicating with. You see, so that's where I see that passage of scripture. It wasn't that he was deducting himself as not being God, but he was carrying out his mission, and that was to point them to the Father.
Okay. You know, paradoxically, in a paradox sense, that one day on the right end, he's man. On the right end, he's God. On the left end, he's man. But yet, he was always pointing them to the Father.
That was
his mission. And so it was a seeming contradiction that they would think to him, and I want to make sure that I'm getting what I heard you say, right? Let's put these parallels together. And the perspective is that he came to point men to the Father, and because he died for you and me that we could get to the Father, now our mission is to point men to him. Am I correct? Is that what you were saying?
That's correct. That's correct. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for our sin. And the church, remember, is named after him.
Right.
We are part of his body, you see. And so therefore we're pointing people to Christ, which is, again, it's paradoxical. Remember in 1 John, it says that if a person say that they have the Father, they don't have the Father nor the Son. But if they say they got the Son, they got both the Father and the Son.
Okay.
So the process, the order must be done right, you see. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So therefore, to get the Father, it ain't going to do you no good saying you're a Jehovah's Witness, because you can't get to Jehovah if you don't get to Jesus.
Right.
So with Jesus as witness, and through receiving him, we get both the Father and the Son.
Okay. Okay, so now, with that being said, you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm just a man and I can't, I'm not, in other words, I'm mere man and the Lord doesn't expect me to be perfect. one of the scriptures that came to my mind was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, or at least 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but what is in all points as we are, yet with sin.
Without sin, yes.
Yes, and so what he was, what I want to bring in these parallels together is that, yes, John went on to say, and here's another contradiction, seemingly paradoxical point, is that if we say we have no sin, then we are liars. But on the other hand, washed all of our sins away. I want to bring the parallel of the two together because I want people to understand that in one place we're perfect and in another place we're not. Can you help me with that?
Yeah. I'm back to part
okay.
Yeah, I want to finish that next verse, and then after you share there, but we have not a high priest that cannot be touched. But the feeling of our infirmity with all points were tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But the next verse says, since this is the case, therefore come both to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And every born-again believer and every human being on planet Earth, we're in a time of need, and we need Jesus. You see?
Right.
It is through him that we move. And have our being, you see. It's all about him and not about us, you know.
Okay.
the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, you see. And we, the born-again believers, were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but we were born of God. So our definition takes its place and its roots in Christ. If it's just Tommy Sullivan by himself without Jesus, then my righteousness is like a filthy rag. There's no profit in what I want, what I believe, and what I think. It's only when I connected or marinated, in your word earlier, homogenized into Christendom or become a part of the body of Christ, that I really become somebody in him. You see, and we talk about the knowledge that we should have and the communication that we're communicating. We should never lose the fact that it's all about Jesus and not about us. If we're going to do good, as we talk about, is there any good thing in the man? If good happens, it's got to come through God. That's what James was talking about in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Watch this now. This word gift is dosis, which means a giving. So So you can basically say every good giving, you see, and every perfect giving is from above. But if we go to Ephesians, we see this word pop up again in chapter 4, verse 8. It said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's Duma, D-O-M-A, which means a present. So in James, he's the good giver. In Ephesians, we find out what he gave. That was a good present. But in Romans, we find out what the present is. It said for Romans 11:29, it said for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Amen. And that means the spiritual endowment, you see, where God gave us various gifts, such as apostles, the ministerial gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's what Ephesians talks about. And then some of the supernatural gifts, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment. All these things was given by God as a spiritual endowment, a spiritual empowering. It was a miraculous gift so that we can perform in a miraculous way, you see. So without Christ dwelling in us, without us yielding our vessels and thinking like he thinks and speak like he speaks, therefore we can do like he does. And he even said that. He said, the things that I've done ye shall do also, but greater works than these shall ye do. So the church, because of this separation, as you were talking about, and this mind deterioration, if you will, has ceased to perform the way she ought to perform, because we have become so marinated with the things of this world. And the Bible told us to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace, you see. So right. We have to watch what's going on with this mind, what we're feeding it, how we are nurturing it, you understand? We need to watch that.
Okay, so now, as I forementioned, as you so eloquently brought to our attention, that it is about Jesus and nothing else, basically, outside of ourselves. Now I want to say that now we can get to the good in us, because now we recognize the good in us is him. And that, brought to my attention, you said, with the book of Ephesians, and I look at the book Ephesians. And chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Good work. Yes, sir.
Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And then that brings to my mind, somebody says, you know, I got good works inside of me now. What does that mean to me? How am I going to work this? You just told me that I'm not good outside of Jesus Christ, so how am I going to work this?
Right.
And so that brings me back, that carries me over to that next book after Ephesians, Philippians 1, verse 6, is being confident of this
very thing.
A few minutes ago, this very word that he has done a good work in you to perform it the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to cut another argument, because somebody else says, well, I don't know if I can do it or not. Well, you know, Philippians 2:13 says, you're not doing it anyway. For it is God who's working
in you,
both to will and to do of his good
pleasure. Amen. 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 Well, so just let go and let God.
Because, you know, even God is working in me. But Paul went on to say in Philippians 4:13, I believe, he says, I can do all things.
All things.
Through Christ who
strengthens
me.
That's
we have no excuses. That leaves out nothing for us. But to be able to say that we've just really been empowered to be good.
Absolutely. 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 So the idea is this. If I really want to make a plus, I got to let God have his way. Whoa. Because if I don't let him have his way, I'm in the minus. I'm not making a plus. But every time he takes over and takes charge, then I'm on the plus side. That's why we have to walk in the spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see?
So can I say something right there?
Go ahead.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, pastors, you always tell us, you preachers always tell us to walk in the spirit. Kind of, can you really explain to me what did that really mean? Well, we'll help you today. The pastor there has already told you exactly how you walk in the spirit. And if you were really listening and paying attention, he gave you an opportunity to know at every point how to walk in the spirit. And that is, if you're walking in the word of God, then you're walking in the spirit of God, because you're walking in the spirit of that word. Bring it out to people. Say, how do you walk in the spirit? You walk in the word. And when you walk in the word, you're walking in the spirit of that word. And that word was by the spirit of Almighty God. I just wanted to bring that point out, Pastor, because a lot of times people say, well, what is walking in the spirit?
Well, maybe to help them also, if they would pick up back in the book of Ephesians, where it talks about, I guess in chapter 5, around verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this word filled by definition means to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, if you crucify your flesh, then the spirit can reign. Whether you do it through a lot of fasting and praying, whether you're denying your physical body of natural nutrients so it won't cause the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life to jump so high. You in the Old Testament, call afflicting the soul. That means the mind, the emotion, and the volition is being attacked to the extent that it can only think one way now, because it can only survive one way, and that's through fasting and praying and eating and digesting the word of God. So if I put myself in the position to let God reign and rule in my life, allow him to direct and guide me, then I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm being controlled by the Spirit. I don't go nowhere but where he tells me to go. I don't do nothing but what he tells me to do. I don't say nothing but what he tells me to say. Again, this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and you got to do it on a regular basis, because every morning you wake up, you got to declare your flesh dead. Otherwise, he's going to resurrect himself and try to reign and rule. But we have to keep this flesh under subjection on a daily basis so that God and keep us walking in the flesh, that we will not fulfill the lust. I mean, walking in the spirit, I'm sorry, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Well, we're about to wind it down. We're coming into the runway again. Lord have mercy, this word is so great. I tell you, I'm almost eating ham hocks and chicken and greens. But we're coming into the runway, and it is safe to say that walking in the spirit is walking and being submitted to the word of God, as Pastor Sullivan has so graciously said. You know what? As we come into the runway today, my God, I'm telling you, I hate that we're running out of time, but oh my goodness. Be back with us next week. Praise God. We're going to do this one more time, and we're going to talk about every good thing that's in you and me in Christ Jesus. In the meantime, let me tell you something. The best is yet to come. And Pastor Sullivan, God bless you. You being with us next week, you will be with us next week, correct?
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. Jesus is on his way back, and he is the best, and he is yet to come. God bless you as we leave the air today. Look, know that Jesus is blessing you and loving you through us right now.
Right now. Mm-hmm. All right, Robinson.